Yeah. just look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our High Priest. And first and most, we praise the name of Jesus, the Savior, the one who came from heaven to die for us on Calvary Cross, the one who paid for all our sins, the past, the present, the future, the one who suffered, was misunderstood, the one who people rejected, and we did too, Father, but in your kindness and mercy, you caused us to believe in him. And now, Father, we rejoice in the fact that on the Lord's Day, we have meaning in our life. We come to the house of God to say, thank you, Jesus, for the great salvation that you have bestowed upon us. And Father, more than that, we come to the house of God to proclaim the gospel so other people too may come to the knowledge of Jesus. And by doing so, believing in him, become part of the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father. Not only we preach the gospel, but there are many other churches in America who do so. And we pray for them that their pastors be faithful to the scripture, that they may feed the people of God with the word of God. So in turn, they may go out and witness about this power, about this life that is within us. Father, we have a special missionary with us in our missionary department. And we have our brother Fred and Carol Lewis, who are ready to come back to the States for 6 months. But they finished their training in Ukraine, and they're going to be useful in the school to teach preachers, to teach the Word of God. We have Carol and Ruth Knott in northern Spain. More than 14 years that we support these couple with 9 children. And Father, how blessed we are to have these missionaries who learn the Spanish language, who write a Spanish book, and we go from town to town to teach elders how to manage their churches. Thank you, Father, for the Knott family. We know personally Eusebio and Maritza Perez, who came here last year for our anniversary. And Father, how blessed we are to have Eusebio in our team of missionaries as he ministered the Word of God in Benalmadena, south of Malaga, Lord, in a very difficult tourist place. But here is a man of God who is being used to teach the gospel in English and in Spanish. Thank you, Father, for that family. Lord, for Ruben and Irene Zachert, as the church grows in Lodi, California, how grateful we are that we have a part in their life as the Spanish people who live in the area are being ministered by the Word of God. And now 80, 90 people, they meet together in a church there in Lodi. Thank you, Father, for that. And then locally, Father, we have the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a place of refuge for those in crisis, a place where not only we put a hand for those girls who are pregnant, but also we show them the way out, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And many, many have come to know you because of the center. Father, we pray that you bless those who work day and night over there. You bless the finances of that particular house. And Lord, we have a large audience in the radio ministry and also in the tape ministry, and some of the families have request prayer. And so this morning, we pray for the Feistol family, that whatever the need is, that you will be with them. Also for the Rotolo family in New York, whatever the specifications or the details of their prayer request will be, you know them, Lord, and you will put your hands, strong hands, upon them. And Father, we are grateful for Fanny Cassada. We have prayed for her, and she's on dialysis every other day, but her mind is stable, her body is stable. We are grateful, Father, that this wonderful lady, the wife of one of our founders, Father, thank you that you have blessed them, and the medicine and the hospitals and the doctors have assisted her. Lord, thank you for the people that came here today. Thank you for the guests, for the visitors. Thank you for those who listen in the tape ministry. Thank you for those who pass the tapes to others. Thank you, Father. We never know how far we go as we preach the gospel. Thank you for the choir who want to praise you. Thank you for Fred who read the scripture faithfully. Thank you for my wife who play the piano, the in and the out here in this church. Thank you, Lord, for that. And now as we work together, we want to say, Lord, we love you. And because we love you, we want to share you with others. Bless us and give us a strength. And Lord, all the ministry, all the time, any ministry requires money to support. And these people here, these people at Bethel Baptist Church has been faithful. And they are faithful in the giving. And so bless the giver and bless the offering. In Jesus' precious name, amen. No matter where you live, in Carmel, Santa Cruz, Los Altos, Highway 5, wherever you are, we are available to you. It's 408-778-2595. Once again, we are giving you the phone number so that in case of need, in case you have some counseling to be, maybe you want somebody to hear you, and I'm available. Doesn't matter where you live, our church wants to help you. Our church wants to serve you. Again, 778-2595 or 779-2300. I want to tell you something. If you have an emergency, something that perhaps I know in the office, but you want to talk to me at that particular moment, here I give you another phone number that reach me right away. Will be 408-390-0998. 408-390-0998. May God bless you as you continue listening to our broadcast, the service of Bethel Baptist Church. May I invite you to go to the chapel with me as the service is in progress.
Long for the day when we see him face. Thank you, choir. We ask you now to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading in that Bible on page 898. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after shall live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be their punishment. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name. We praise and worship thee, Almighty God, because of thy mercy upon our souls through the sacrifice of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Your words are strong today, Father. We are to beware of false teachers and false gospels in this world. Father, we pray that today that you'll be with your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he brings forth thy truth. And help him bring it forth in all truth and clarity, Almighty God, and not to hinder it and stifle it any way. And that you may use it, O Father, to call more of thy children into thy kingdom of light. For you have given an example unto this world of your power and of your will. And we ask, O Father, that you will continue thy mercy upon us to bring us out of the temptations of this world, but most of all to call those that are still in darkness. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, my brother. And now we like to call your attention, and I don't know if this microphone is on. All right. Okay. I want to call your attention once again to the book of 2 Peter that our brother read for us this morning. In the morning worship service, we are looking in the scripture on 2 Peter. In the evening service, we are looking on Matthew's gospel. And then on Wednesday night, we are looking on topics, whatever you want to know, what the Bible says about what. And we already talk about finances. We already talk about brotherly love. And we're going to talk about priorities this coming Wednesday. The Apostle Peter opened his second letter in chapter 1, asking you to be sure that you know that you are saved, making your calling and election sure. And you know that, he said, not by what, how much you know in your head, but checking your lifestyle, checking your desires, checking what you do. Then he switched quickly in preparation for today's paragraph to something that is vital in the gospel. He switched to the importance of knowing God's word. You take God's word out of your hand, then all of us are right, whatever we think of. But you put God's word on the table, and that becomes the big difference in the life of everybody. All right? So now he comes to the third paragraph in his letter, and he is talking about counterfeit. Now, I read in a magazine that one of the most successful rackets in the world today is that of selling fake art. Even some of the finest galleries and private collections have been invaded by paintings that they are clever counterfeits of the great masters. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that these come also into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you three important scriptures. Satan is a great imitator. Look, 2 Corinthians. If you move your Bible to 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 and then verse 13 and verse 14, the Bible tells us that Satan is a great imitator. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11 in verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel," said the Apostle Paul. I'm not surprised of this. "For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." The nation of Israel was contently being led by false prophets. Elijah had to contend with the prophets of Baal. But it was the Jewish false prophets who did the most damage in Israel. For they claimed to speak in the name of Jehovah. Remember when Jeremiah was in town? He spoke and condemned the king, and they came, the so-called prophets of God, and they said, no, Jeremiah is wrong. You're okay, king. You can do what you want to. Now, that's the most damaging thing in your life, when you are in the hands of a gospel that is not the gospel of God. So I tell you something. The apostles and the prophets laid the foundation of the church, and they pass away. They are no longer here. So that's why we have so many counterfeits. This is why Peter wrote about counterfeit, falsehood, prophets and religions, that they are not of God, even though the vocabulary is so equal to our vocabulary. So I want to share with you three things this morning about this strong passage that is not against anybody. It's a passage of the scripture that describes falsehood. It's a passage of the scripture that you and I need to be aware if we're going to put our feet on the foundation of God. First, in verses 1 to 3, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, we have there the false teachers are described for us. Peter knew that the truth of God's word and the false doctrines of the heretics simply could not exist. It was very interesting that yesterday I took two young people for lunch together with Dr. McCormick, and it was very interesting. I thought it was the Holy Spirit does work. Dr. McCormick asked these two young people what the word heresy means. I thought that these two people were an exam. We're asking all kinds of questions. I learned a lot about flying and so on. And Dr. McCormick was pursuing philosophy and deep questions. And one of the deep questions pursued to these young people was, what is heresy? And heresy is the error in doctrine. The error in doctrine. The error against the truth of God's church. Now look at the description of the false teachers. All right? In verse 1, the false teachers are full of deception. Look at what 2 Peter in chapter 2 in verse 1 it says. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord. See, it's just amazing. If you go to verse 3, the Bible said, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Now, the word feigned words in Greek sounds in this way, plastos. In English, we get the word plastic from that word, from that Greek word. And so the false teachers use plastic words. Let me give you an example what that means. When I came to America, they have instant coffee, which I call plastic coffee, instant soup, plastic soup. So I wrote to Argentina. You have to watch out here. Everything is plastic. That means no real. See? And the false teachers use our vocabulary, but they do not use our dictionary. That's what I found out. The false teachers use our vocabulary. They talk about grace. They talk about the Word of God. They talk about everything we talk about, but they do not use our dictionary. They mean something different. They talk about salvation. They talk about inspiration and the great words of the Christian faith. But they do not mean what we mean. When we talk about inspiration, we mean that the Bible is closed, that we cannot add any more revelation to the Scripture. But they do not mean that. Deception. Secondly, in verse 1, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, they deny. There is a denial from the false teachers. At the very end of verse 1 says, even denying the Lord that bought them. False teachers are better known for what they deny than for what they know. I just got 3 or 4 books reading about a different doctrine, and the first thing I do is I just look for what they deny, because you get to know them for what they deny rather than for what they know. They deny the inspiration of the Bible, the sinfulness of man, the sacrificial death of Christ in the cross, and once and forevermore, Christ doesn't have to die any longer. And salvation by faith alone. These people deny. They use the same words with different meaning, but they deny these things. Now, you notice in a strong sentence at the end of verse 1. Look at what the Bible says. Denying the Lord that bought them. What that means? In what sense were these people bought by the Lord? Well, the explanation of this is found in Matthew's gospel in chapter 13 in the parables. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 13, and I think it's verse 44, where you find a parable. Here is so important, the end of the verse said, even denying the Lord that bought them. And it certainly looks like these people are Christians because the Lord bought them after all. But look at what Matthew 13:44 says. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. Now, if you move your eyes to verse 38, on the same chapter 13, the Bible said, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares and the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. So Jesus defined it. So now go back to verse 44, and the Bible said again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field, in the world, the entire universe, the entire world, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goes and sell all that he had and buyeth that field. Now we are the treasure. The believers are the treasure. The field is the world. And God, what has done in Christ Jesus, he bought the world and he only acquired for himself the treasure. That's why at the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 19, and in verse 16, when we talk about Jesus, look at what the Bible says. And he hath on his vestures, verse 16 of Revelation 19, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know what that means? Jesus is King over the whole universe. Jesus is King over the whole universe. He bought the universe, belonged to Christ. The whole world belonged to Christ. And that's why Daniel chapter 2 verse 21 said, he raised the king and put down the king. We go through so much hassle for election, and people are sitting already by the post office trying to entice you to this and the other. And I smile. I want to vote. As a citizen, I have the right to vote, and I will exercise that right. But you know, deep inside my heart, I know that God's going to put a man in the White House that he wants to accomplish his will in the country anyway. I have the right to vote. I will do the best I can to select the man who stands on the word of God. But I tell you, God's going to accomplish his way. No man in America can overrule God. He bought the world. He bought the world. And then he put out in the world, one of my professors in the seminary said, what do you like, Gabriel? I like olives. You like olives? I can eat 50 olives right away. It's just fantastic. Only thing, you got a little increase in the stomach, but I tell you, it's good. So he said, how do you have olives in South America? Well, olives don't come in a little can like this. They come in big, big barrels, thick. And, you know, their family will go through 1 week in one of those. And they are cheap. They're $3 or $4 a barrel. And so he said, what happened to the bottle of the olives? Well, if you let it go, the bottle of the olives get in putrefaction. So with God, by the whole barrel, he puts the hands and he selected whatever he wanted to. And they're his. And this is you, your children. What a privilege we have as believers. What a privilege we have. We have been bought by God. God can pick anybody else, but he picks you. He picks you and lets you know that you are a child of God. Sure, you came to the gospel. Sure, you believe. Sure, you found Christ. Yes, all these things happen. But you know why? Because he, with his mighty hand, he said, you are mine, regardless of what you said, overruling you. What a great thing. And so that's what God did. And these false teachers, they deny this. They deny the power of God. And in verse 2, in 2 Peter chapter 2, these false teachers dwell on sensuality. Let me read verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil is spoken of. The word pernicious ways simply means licentious conduct. They will live in the way they want to. They care less about discipline of life and testimony. Notice that many will follow them, said the scripture, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil is spoken of. And at the beginning of the verse says, many will follow them. Now, what happened to their followers? According to verse 2, they bring disgrace to the name of God. The Christian faith gets a bad name because of their filthy life. Look at the counsel of the Apostle Paul to Titus. In Titus chapter 1 and in verse 16. Look at the counsel of the Apostle Paul to you and to me as Christians. Titus 1 and verse 16. Look at what the Apostle Paul says. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. You see, that's been a false teacher. Now, you may not know. Oh, another question we have with the young people was this. Boy, I think that question, Grandpa did it just to come back to me. The question was, there was a little joke about where is God. And the question is, where is God? And the two young people say, and where is God? And here's the pastor eating his enchiladas. Oh, all right, better stop and explain what I had to explain. And you see, I can explain a lot of things to you, but can I lead them in my life? That's what the verse said here. They profess that they know God, But in words, they deny him. You know, when my professor, I was sharing this with one of my, I found a body that that took one of the churches in San Leandro, in from my seminary, and I said, you remember the times nobody wanted to go to seminary on Tuesday morning. The dean will come in and say, okay, all the checkbooks on the table. They want to know how we use our money. They want to know. We were only 70 people in that seminary, German seminary. Only 70 people. Tough. They said, if you say you're going to be a teacher, if you say you're going to be a professor, I want to know how you live. And if you're going to teach people about giving to the Lord, what about yourself? Wow. Wow. No wonder people, 2 weeks in the seminary, they quit. See, it's fantastic. They profess that they know God, but in works, they deny him, being abominable. We don't use that word anymore, but it's a very heavy, heavy word. And disobedient, and to every good work, reprobate. You know, when you fail an exam, you're a reprobate. Wow. See, this is being a false teacher. So you have the description of the false teacher. They have deception, they have denial, and they have sensuality. All right? Now, we don't have to be afraid of. The false teacher destroy. The false teacher destroy, verse 3 to 6. He explained to us in 2 Peter chapter 2, the false teachers destroy. Peter saw no hope in these apostates. Their doom was sealed. He used three examples to verify these truths. He said, there are three things in the Old Testament that happened that tells me that these false teachers go nowhere. Here they are. Verse 4, example number 1, the fallen angels. Look at these. For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto the judgment. Angels were the first people to sin. They rebelled against God. And God got them and put, the Bible said in another passage, under the Euphrates River. I think that's an expression. They put it in some place called hell until the day of judgment. It's just amazing. Angels, even though they were angels, even though they were praising God, because they were false, God said, that's it. Boom. Down with them. So Peter is seeing that. Fallen angels do not get away with their falsehood. Verse 5, the fallen world. Look at verse 5. And they spared not the old world, but save Noah, the a person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. See, the fallen world is another example. When you compare our world with Noah's world, you see some frightening parallel, my friend, today. For example, if you move your Bible to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1, let me give you the parallel of Noah's world with our world. Genesis chapter 6. Now, the population was multiplying then. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth. Do you know that in the year 2000, the world will reach 6 billion people? When the apostles were on the earth, there were 1 billion people. But now we will reach 6 billion people. Very frightening parallel. Genesis 6, 1 said, a man is start multiplying in the world. Now, the world was filled with wickedness. Look at verse 5, Genesis 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Do you know that today in America, we have the most wicked generation ever live in this country? They deny the Lord. There is a man, I think it's called The Free Man, the magazine that I received, somebody sent it to me. And the man was, I was reading, and here's what he's saying. He said, I went to preach to a college, And I want to make some statistics, I want to make some financial remarks, but I want to tell the college people that the future of America is in the hands of Christ. And when he said that, the whole stadium claps and laughs about him, he said. Amazing. That is denying the Lord who raised this country. Come next Sunday, and I'm going to have a lot of details of the Constitution, a lot of details of one nation under God, and how the book of Judges is a clear, clear picture of America. I tell you, the people in the times of Noah, they were weak, and today they are weak as can be. Do you know that the mayor of the city is going to declare today the parades of the homosexuals as something that brings love and compassion in the city of San Francisco, bringing abomination to the city of San Francisco? It's amazing the things. If our fathers of our country wake up today, I think they die in the very next second to see what happened to America. And the reason is America put away the Lord. Look, the world was filled with violence. Look in chapter 6 and verse 11 on Genesis. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And you don't have to guess anymore. You just look to the news, and you see the young people carrying guns and not only shooting in the schools, shooting everywhere. And almost you have to carry a machine gun in your hand to talk to people today because you don't know who is going to shoot you. Violence is in the hearts of people. See, the fallen world. And so Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 5, pay attention because God is spared not the old world. God do not let it go. He said, finish. And he brought the flood and finished with that world. So God's going to do the same as well with us. When God comes, it's not going to be a baby on a manger and a news, good news. It's going to be the good news of the judgment day. And my friend, get your act together because in that court there is no settlement. Either Christ is in your heart or you spend an eternity in hell. Simple like that. But also, in verse 6, the Apostle Peter brings Sodom and Gomorrah. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah perish in fire and brimstone. Look at verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Now remember that God bought the world so he can do what he wants to. Sodom and Gomorrah were like San Francisco today. And he turned those cities into ashes. God has reserved the unjust for a special punishment on the day of judgment. Now, what a contrast between the false teachers and the believers, the people of God. You know, look at in 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, when we buy a house here in our world, you have to do a lot of paperwork, and they do a lot of research, and they check your finances and all the details and all the things, and finally you got a house. But in heaven, you don't have to do any paperwork. You don't have to pay anything. It's reserved for you. Why? Well, look at it in John chapter 14. Why? You go to John chapter 14, and in verse 1, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me, said the Lord Jesus. And look in verse 2, John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. You got it? I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, we have a place for us. Calvary Cross secure a place for us in heaven. Now, Then Peter turned his attention to the believers itself. How can the believers stay true to the Word of God and to the Lord in such a wicked world? Have you ever asked yourself, many times I ask myself this question, how can my little three granddaughters will stay true to the Word of God in this awful, wicked America? How? Well, the believers are delivered from this. Peter's purpose in writing this paragraph was not just denounce the apostles, the false people. He also wants to encourage the believers. He once again reaches back to the Old Testament and cited two examples. Look in verse 5. Look at who he mentioned. Noah. This man of faith experienced a twofold salvation. Look in verse 5. And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah. And a person, said the Bible, a preacher of righteousness. Now, God did two things for Noah. God delivered him from the pollution of the world around him. For 120 years, Noah preached the gospel to the world. The world was polluted. The world was wicked. The world was awful. But not for Noah. He was a believer. See the difference? He was a believer. He was a believer. And a believer is untouched. You can live in the most filthy community. You can live in the most horrible neighborhood. But you're untouched. You're a believer. Noah was untouched. Noah was untouched. God did not protect Noah and his family by isolating them from the world, but by enabling them to remain pure in the midst of corruption. There are some people, they're so concerned for their children, they say, I like to live on the top of a mountain with my children alone. You don't want to protect them like that. You better teach them the toughness of this world. You better teach them that in your own business, my friend, how tough it's for you. They better see your sorrows and they better see your struggle so that they know that there is no happiness and everything flowing honey and milk around in the world. It's tough out there in the street, but God is great. God is great. Also, the verse teaches that God delivered Noah and his family from the judgment of the world. The Bible said in verse 5, he spared not the world, but saved Noah and a person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Of the unworldly. You see that? The flood did not come to Noah. He has a beautiful boat. And don't ask me how the old animals went in and on. I just believe it by faith. But I tell you, boats float. You know, young people, the boats float. They don't go down. They float. And they float. And Noah was above the judgment. Noah was above the judgment. Do you know how beautiful is this for you and me? We going to be above the judgment when the wicked of these nations and the nations of the world will be judged. We will be above them. How do you know, Pastor? Well, look at here. Matthew chapter 24. Look at what the scripture says. Matthew chapter 24. And look at here. In the scriptures, how clear is this, verse 29 to 31. Matthew 24 and verse 29 to 31. Look at what the Bible said, Jesus speaking. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Praise the Lord. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. I thought they were going to be joyful. They can, because they know their time is coming. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels. What is he going to do? Listen to these. With a great sound of a trumpet. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. And they shall gather together the elect. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18. from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. My friend, what a hope. You think Christians don't have hope? We do have hope. We do have hope. We have God's protection in this world and God's glory in the world to come. Man, that we have hope. Here's what the scripture said. True believers are delivered in this world and in the world to come. And then the Bible used another man, used Lot. You remember Lot? If you go to 2 Peter in chapter 2, the apostle Paul said, we believers going to be okay. And look at what happened to Noah. And then he said, look at what happened to Lot. 2 Peter 2, verse 7, and deliver just Lot. Now, if God will not put that word, just Lot, we all think the Lot was an unbeliever. Because he liked business. You know, some people relate business to unbelief. No, Lot was a businessman. And Abraham was a businessman. And I know that within the family, it's very tough to do business. So Lot said, I go that way. And Abraham said, I go the other way. And they separated. Both were rich people. And Lot was a believer. And the Bible says, he delivered Lot. Now, this man of faith experienced salvation. God delivered him from the pollution of the world around him. And now, God enables Lot and his family to remain unpolluted, even though they were living in a cesspool of iniquity. Abraham chose the plains of the Jordan. Actually, he chose the Arabian territory. And Lot chose right there into the Lebanon where the business is. And there was pollution in one place and pollution in the other. And God delivered both of them. God, remember, also rescued Lot and his two daughters and part of his family before the judgment came into Sodom and Gomorrah. God extended his hand and called Lot out of that city before he destroyed the city. So that's the answer for those who ask me, when God destroyed the world, would the believers be on it? The answer is not, sir, 10 seconds, 5 seconds, 2 seconds before, it goes up, zip, and we all go in the clouds. We all sit in that white robe together with Christ. And we all going to enjoy a perfect nature, a perfect body, a perfect life. And we all going to be in the presence of the glory of God. In the meantime, the world is going to be destroyed. So what is the message that Peter has for us? Go to verse 9. Here's the message that God has for us. Look at what the Bible says. The Lord, what? Knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. The original has a little bit switch in the words. They said, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trial. You're in trial. Every morning when you wake up, you and I are in trial. I pray, I say, God, give us a wonderful day. You know, I pray for my daughter and my son-in-law, and I say, God bless Danny and bless Miriam, and I pray, Lord, protect my girls. And in this crazy America, when somebody take your children away and kill them, you know, we live in a wicked world. Have you ever thought if you have a little child, somebody will touch? I want to be in the presence of somebody doing that. I think I lose my life, but I think I lose all my Christianity at that second. But it's like, it's real. And I pray, Lord, protect my three girls. They go to a school, they do this, they do the other. Lord, I know they're in a Christian school or whatever. Somebody can come in, ask for something, and take, Lord, protect them, Lord. I just devastated. I know that each morning I wake up, I'm in trial. You're in trial. You go to work and you think everything is okay. Forget it. Something's going to be really wrong. And you have an agenda. So I'm going to do A, B, C, D. And you go over there, and the agenda. Forget about your agenda. You have to fix the life of 20 people before you fix yours. I tell you, it's tough around there. But the Lord knows how to deliver the godly. That's the hope. My brother and my sister, you are not under the weather. You are above the weather. Brother Brian can tell you if it's bad weather, he will pull up in the plane and try to go above the weather. At least that's what the boys told me. All right. Now, this is the way that you do it. You pull up above the weather. And more tough is the weather, more you pull up. We were coming down from Chicago. In a 320 Airbus plane made, I guess, in France, Germany, or whatever. And it was cloudy. And I was saying, oh, Lord, why this guy don't pull up? Well, we got a little dizzy. The guy went on to 44,000 feet high. And I don't know if the plane is prepared for that or not. Raquel was very dizzy. And we were smooth. A smooth flight. 44,000. About the way. 45, he said. It's because of bad weather. And we were feeling. I don't know if the plane was prepared for all of this. But the pilot had to move. And we, under the plane was a mess. But in the plane was a steak and things. We were eating, enjoying ourselves. Enjoy your life as Christian, knowing that God knows how to deliver you and your family and everybody. If you're not a Christian, you're at the mercy of Satan. Will shake you, will make your life miserable. You think you're right, but you're maybe a gambler, a drinker, a man of sensuality. All of these things of the world crave in you and destroy you. But when you're a Christian, you are free from this because God in His mercy deliver us. And one day when He come, He take us into His presence forevermore. What a God we have. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you gave us life and life eternal. Thank you, Father, that you deliver us, from the mess of this world. Deliver us from evil, false teachers and false religions. Help us to cleave to thy word. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.